last night was a hellhole of a basketball game. Cavaliers lost. They got boat raced from basically beginning to end. At one point, they had more turnovers than they had hit field goals. And so I kind of want to ask everybody, is last night just a bad night, or is there a problem with your Cleveland Cavaliers? Do you believe that there's a problem with the Cleveland Cavaliers? I happen to think that last night was a bad night. We can ask Danny Cunningham a little bit more in depth at 8:40. But, and I want to ask you guys, I do think that this might be a good thing for Cavs fans. I don't think you're comfortable being the favorite. I don't think you're comfortable being the team that's in the driver's seat. I think that
the
most
fans of the team.
Fans. The team, I'm not sure. The team, they're a young, plucky group. They need a couple of setbacks here and there because they lead, as Kevin Stefanski will tell us, they lead the way for comebacks. 34-6.
Setbacks pave the way for comebacks.
There you go. 34-6, it's still a hell of a record. My chant is you don't have to fix 34-6. But is there any sort of a real problem with this team? Because I still think for fans, fans love being underdogs. Fans love it, especially in the Midwest. They love to rise up, to beat an opponent that is favored over them. Part of what makes the Cavaliers championship so satisfying isn't the 51 years, isn't that it's their favorite team is the Cavaliers. A big reason why it's so satisfying is that you beat a team that was heavily favored, a 72-win basketball team, a team that was seen as a juggernaut. And so when you go out there and you get your ass handed to you, and that's what you did, I don't think there were some things last night that might be a bit concerning, but I don't think that there's anything where we need to lose our minds over. You lost the game, it's a bad game. Do you believe that it was a rough night at the office, or do you believe that there was anything that you need to take?
I mean, it was definitely a rough night at the office.
Just a rough night at the office,
yeah,
sorry.
I think even Atkinson admitted after the game that, yes, longer teams are going to give us trouble, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't even accept the bid to the playoffs. Like, yeah, it's going to be tougher in the playoffs. It's going to be tougher for everybody. Cavs are not a cupcake matchup for anybody either. So all these teams are obviously deficient in some areas. Mm. You know, I said earlier in the year that the Boston Celtics have, to me, the most perfect roster that you could have in today's newfangled apron cap situation, the CBA. Like, they're the most perfect team you could build, and they've been 7-7 in their last 14 games. So all these teams have issues. There's no runaway champ this year. And I think every list will have the Cavs, Thunder, and Celtics in some order as the teams. And that's, you want to talk about disrespect. Is that disrespectful to the Mavericks, who aren't even being mentioned? Is it disrespectful to the Knicks that have used all those assets to go completely remake their team? Like, there's still a lot of basketball to be played. And who's even going to be healthy come playoff time? Like, that's probably
sure.
going to be more important than
I'm
anything.
I'm not sure. I mean, if you're still the healthy team, but it did bother me that you played so lousy when they did have no Chet Holmgren again. He was out with the hip injury. And now you have Isaiah Hartenstein with a calf injury. That bothered me. It bothered me that you didn't throw the ball to the block. It bothered me that you tried to go inside. That bothered me.
Well, it's weird, especially considering how you did punish them in a big way.
Yes.
In that first game in Cleveland. Now, obviously, Oklahoma City made adjustments, but it was such a weird game because they didn't have either of their big men. So that's why I thought this was going to be a romp, that Evan Mobley was just going to dominate, that Jared Allen was going to dominate. But what did they do? They turned up the pressure on the perimeter to a 10 out of 10. And you saw how many possessions last night just got stifled before you even had a chance to get started.
Did they think it was going to be a romp? And is this why they came out so flat?
I honestly do wonder. And I know that's crazy considering it's a road game. George Niang told us how important that game was yesterday. Kenny Atkinson basically said they built it up as like a playoff. That's not going to exactly be music to anyone's ears. But it's weird when you're going up against a team that didn't have, what was the tallest player in the starting lineup yesterday for Oklahoma City? 6'9", Jalen Williams. I mean, that was a game I expected us to pound them on the inside, and they just didn't do it.
Well, you're getting a lot of, and they played Indiana. Indiana's a respectable basketball team. You're playing a lot of teams that playoff games. Playoff atmosphere. Like, are you trying to do a little bit too much there? Are you trying to force it a little bit?
And it was national
television.
I got to ask questions
because it was just such a bad game.
You got the real inside the NBA halftime show and postgame show. You didn't get the backups, which is what I think we had last time we got the game flexed. And you're going to see a lot more Cavs on national television, so you're going to have a lot more of these opportunities to soak it all in, because this was, you could tell Oklahoma City, they were desperate. They didn't like losing. They didn't like the fact that their 15-game winning streak was snapped. you know, on the road, and they look like a team that wanted that game way more than you did.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. Last night it was interesting to me that it was ironic to me that George Yang's on with us in the morning, talks about how composed Kenny is. Kenny has Atkinson has a T in the first half for cussing at refs,
mm-hmm.
so he was losing his mind. And they said in the broadcast, you know, how he's trying to get his team riled up. They're up against the ropes, and I'm going, man, I just had a feeling throughout, like, this is just not their night. I didn't want to – you tend to have to take this back when you say these things during games, but I'm going, something's off. They're missing these shots, clanging. We're trying to get bunnies going. Even the bunnies aren't going for us here. And again, the turnovers, just the ball handling that was just not there, the passing that was terrible. It just seemed to be, boy, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I go, did you stay in the bad hotel? Did you stay in the haunted hotel? What the hell happened here?
I would add, if you're asking about problems, like, I know who Donovan Mitchell is. I know how good he is. And I know how in the postseason he has the ability to take his game to a level that you know, maybe – I don't know if there's nine other guys, you know, in the NBA that can take it to the level that he can. With that said, this January has absolutely been a disaster for him. And I have to look to go back and see, maybe since his rookie year. This January, I know it's been six games and three of them have been on national television. This has got to be one of the worst months of his career. He's averaging...
Donovan, you're saying?
Donovan. He's okay. Averaging 17 a game, 38% from the field, and 34% from three. He hasn't really been spreading the ball around. He's just not been good. He hasn't really gotten to the free throw line all that much.
Why do you think this is?
I don't know. There hasn't really been the burst around the rim. The finishing hasn't been there. And that's something that, you know, he was able to on one leg last year in a playoff game score 50 and show you the complete breadth of amazing game that he has where he can do it inside out. And he has not really demonstrated that. I wonder if he's dealing with an injury or something. It's weird to see Donovan Mitchell play like this for an extended period of time.
What night did he have off last week? Which night was it? Was it the first Pacers game or which one was it?
No, he played in both Pacers games.
Which one was it that he had the scheduled night off? Yeah, because it was right after the game against Oklahoma City he had the scheduled night off. Thank you. Is he nursing something that we don't know about?
I don't know, because minutes-wise, this is... right up there with the lowest minutes in his career. He's at 31 minutes. Yeah, he's the absolute lowest of his career. So they're trying not to burn him out, because last year you can make the argument towards the end of the year he was burned
then
out.
Then is there a case to be made that they're trying not to burn him out and he's playing the lowest minutes of his career and he's not necessarily used to that? He played all the minutes in Utah. He played all the minutes here in Cleveland his first couple of years here. Is there an adjustment that needs to be made? Not like with his game, but just like the timing of everything.
Look, I think he was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to sacrifice, I think, short-term stats, making an MVP run, because normally the best player on a team with this record would be at the top of the MVP list, and he's really not even top five, I don't think. So he's been willing to sacrifice all of that because they know come playoff time, they're going to need Evan Mobley, they're going to need Darius Garland to take their game to another level. Donovan has established that he can take his game to another level. Those guys have not. In the postseason, Darius has been dreadful. And Evan came alive at the end of the Boston series, but, you know, has looked kind of meek in the postseason. He got roughed around, pushed around in that Orlando series. So I've been all for that. But I wonder, it's Donovan with this role. This has been so drastically different from anything he's really had his entire career that I think it is something to keep your eye on.
216-474-0092. Is last night just a bad night, or are there actually problems with the Cleveland Cavaliers? Isaac and Shaker Heights, you're first up on the Fan.
Thank you. Good morning to you guys. Hey, it was both. It was a bad night, and there is problems with the Cavaliers. This problem is because, if you notice, Oklahoma City picked them up full court, and they blitzed the ball handlers. And whoever had the ball, Darius
Garland. They did that last week as well, didn't they?
Yeah, Pacers did that.
Yeah, they blitzed them. And they blitzed them, and when they blitzed them, you got guys in there, especially this lineup I'm about to give you. I've been watching this lineup for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Lineup of Mitchell, Niang, Mobley, LeVert and Strus. That lineup is detrimental to the Cavaliers. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they can't play. I'm just saying they can't play well together. And that's part of Mitchell's problem. This part of Mitchell's problem is he's the primary ball handler in that lineup. Nobody else can actually bring the ball up or do anything with the ball. He needs to play with Strus, and he needs, not Strus, he needs to play with Ty Jerome. He needs to play with Ty Jerome in that lineup. That lineup needs scratching. Just watch it the next time. The next time you see those five in, watch the score. Watch and see what they do, and watch the lead either dissipate.
You're not the first person to say that. I don't disagree with you. You're not the first person to say that to me, Isaac.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. I mean, I know you share a name, but Okoro has been absolutely dreadful since he has come back from his, I think it was like a shoulder injury. He has been dreadful. Remember, he was shooting like 50% from three-point land, and that has plummeted. He can't be counted on right now. Max Strus is feast or famine shooting. We know that. Yesterday, they abused him. They were looking for him on screens, and Max fights hard. He fights his ass off, but against the premier players, like Shai Gilgeous, every single time he had sights, it was a bucket every single time.
Coming up at 8:40, Danny Cunningham will join us on the show. 216-474-0092. I'm finding it hard to just take the safety off and fire away a team at its sixth game of the NBA season. There are things to pay attention to. You mentioned the Pacers. I mentioned Oklahoma City last week. The length that Oklahoma City has, there's things to pay attention to. Is it a bad night, or are there things that you are now concerned about with the Cleveland Cavaliers? I'm not too terribly concerned. Maybe you can sway me. Also, Daryl coming up at 8 o'clock. If you're upset about the stadium, Daryl is your guy. Daryl is as hot and bothered about the stadium as anybody's going to be. I'm calling him Daryl Kucinich. That's how upset Daryl is about
people
the stadium.
People are saying Daryl's in the pockets of the Haslams. Like, I'm excited to talk to Daryl about this because
should be in the pocket of Abdul Carter because he's like, oh, all these quarterbacks are terrible. You're going to take one of them.
I'll tell you, as a fan of the Browns and someone who doesn't live in Cleveland anymore, I'm like, I am in the county, kind of sitting back and enjoying it all.
Trying to enjoy it all.
I really am. Okay. I really am.
Okay, well, we'll talk to Daryl about that coming up at 8 o'clock. Plus, I hope I don't make an enemy of him because I've been sitting on something here for the last 4 days. I'm a little bit upset about it. He got me worked into a shoot on Monday, and I am I'm in a fighting mood coming up at 8. 216-474-0092. All right, was last night a bad night, or was there something more for your Cleveland Cavaliers to be worried about? We had just had a great call from Isaac and Shaker, and I mean, there are several points to make. Like, you have to take something from every loss because you only have so many of them. So I can't poo-poo everything, but there's certain parts where I'm going, man, they didn't throw the ball inside. Why didn't they do that? They turned the ball over like crazy. When somebody brought up on Twitter Reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Can they turn the ball over like crazy against Indiana? Yeah, they've been sloppy here over the last couple of weeks. I wonder if they had their best game against Oklahoma City, and then everything else has just been kind of this, like, all right, here we go at a different pace. The minutes that Donovan Mitchell has played, I think, have had an effect on him. The lack of minutes that he's played, because I think they're trying to gear him up for the postseason. I think that is going to have an effect on him. And there's plenty saying I'm just making a bunch of big fat excuses. Why? If I got on the freaking radio right now and started saying that they needed to make trades and upset the core four right now, what would Cleveland think of me?
Are you guys just going to do Homer radio every single day here?
Would I be the one telling the truth, or would I be the one who's trying to find problems with a good basketball team? I think it's the latter.
Well, treating these like NFL games, because that's what that would be. If you're waking up today going, that's it, Cavs have no shot in the playoffs. Well, you're treating these like NFL games, which I think is a good thing for the NBA. Like, people should value the regular season games a little bit more. And who has done that more than the Cavs this year? They have come out and played so hard, showed so much fight in all these games. Mostly they pulverized their teams to where the fourth quarter is kind of a non-entity. And it's because of that we don't have a ton of late game situations, final 2 minutes. That was what was so special about that first game in Cleveland, that you had that game go down to the wire, and it wasn't Donovan Mitchell, it was Darius Garland and Evan Mobley coming through when the game was on the line. That was awesome to see. You did know that Oklahoma City, even without Chet, even without Hartenstein, like, they were going to treat this as a big game. I think they even pretty much said so as much. Atkinson said, they're going to throw everything at us in this game. I'm a little surprised they weren't a little more prepared, knowing that those two bigs weren't going to be there and how to beat them. And you notice, remember the Cavs went zone in parts of the third, and in that fourth quarter, that first game, I did say, hey, Oklahoma City is going to be ready for that this time. And my God, they dissected anytime we went to zone.
Chuck, on the road, you're first up on the Fan.
Yo, the Cavs have spoiled us, guys. Ooh. They're 34-6, for gosh sakes. If we're playing, we don't have to worry about OKC until when?
The finals.
And we first got to get there. And if this were an actual series with them, it would be 1-1. They would flush this game. They wouldn't even be thinking about it. So you can't press them. I've watched about every minute of every game that the Cavs have played this year. They are the real deal. They have vaulted to the conference. We got to get by the Celtics and the Pacers, and the Hawks beat us a couple times. But there's no reason to panic.
Chuck,
this team will make a difference.
Chuck, thank you very much for the call. I would agree. I think there is a difference between last night's reaction and then this morning's reaction. I think people have had a chance to sleep on it a little bit. You brought up Donovan's month where it might have been the roughest month that he's had.
You got to go back to his second year in the NBA early on in that season to find numbers and shooting percentage and points. He's shooting 38% from the field, which is really, really ugly for somebody as potent and as efficient as Donovan can be. And then I think he's averaging 18 a game. Like, that is bottom barrel for somebody as talented as he is.
They have to be trying some new things. Let me get to Cool Ray in Bedford. Cool Ray, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hi.
Yo, your last call was absolutely wrong. You better start panicking. This is the reason why I watch every game, and I look at games as on a different perspective. This team, and Charles Barkley said it yesterday, we don't have a dog on this team. Gilgeous Alexander was a dog yesterday. He walked over the Cavs, and you had the coach saying he thought it was seven people out there playing. Like, come on. Like, what more do you need when you got to – listen, yes, we're in the top of the division. Yes, we have a great record. But you cannot get past Boston when you can't beat a team that don't have bigs. They're big set out. You're supposed to walk that team.
What do you want them to do? What do you want them to do, Cool Ray? What do you want them to do?
This is what they should be doing. They should be starting to play championship basketball, which means if you blow everybody
up – It's January 17th.
But you have to listen, basketball. Listen, the championship. You got to build up to that type. All those days where LeBron could say I could turn it off and on. We don't have a LeBron like they could just turn it off and on. Donovan Mitchell, look at his numbers. All that resting he wanted to do, and they're not getting back to what.
Okay, so you said they have to play championship level basketball, and then you've talked about LeBron. What do they need to?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy, just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do. to play championship level basketball. Because if you're talking, I just can't make them do it and go play like champions. Okay, thank you, Ken.
Because Garden, I'm going to give it to you. Garden been trying to step up, but we need Donovan Mitchell, the leader of the team, to play like what we saw.
Wrong.
We need a goal.
What more, Cool Ray, does Donovan Mitchell have to do to prove to you that he will be there for you? What more does he have to do? Because I need No. I'm going to tell you this. I need Darius Garland to step up. That's what I've needed for the last 3 years. Darius needs to step up. Evan needs to step up. Is there a chance I could say that this is by design? Hey, if I'm full of it coming up in the summer, you can go ahead and tell me that. But there is a chance that this is by design. He's not just playing 20 minutes a night because he might be carrying something there, but I do think that there has to be something by design here to try to make Darius step up, to make Evan Mobley step up.
If that's by design, here it is. Don't forget now, you got other players out there watching this. Like, they know our weaknesses. We know our weaknesses. But Donovan has to be the guy. Whatever you're doing, Donovan has to be the guy who can, even though we hate to say it, he cannot have 9 shooting games like he had yesterday. He cannot have it like he did before the first time he played. Donovan cannot go into any game with only scoring 9 points and we expect to win. We can't do that.
I understand that, but you didn't give me an answer for Garland and Evan Mobley.
Okay, well, here it is. Garland and Evan Mobley. But Mobley, this is what Mobley needs to start doing. I understand you shooting at a percentage of highs. You're not a 3-point shooter yet. It's not in your game. Stop doing that.
Stop shooting threes?
If we're up by 20, go for it.
Oh,
but no, not as a regular shot. That's not where he's at. We got plenty of 3-point
shooters. When's he supposed to not do it? He's not Greg Ostertag, Ray.
The Cavs' greatest assets, we have 2 bigs, one that can run the floor, both of them can run the floor. He can bring it up, right? We know that. But to constantly be out there, because once you shoot them threes, you take yourself away from them defensive rebounds and offensive rebounds. This is where the Cavs have been great at. This is why, because he wasn't really doing it on that level.
I disagree.
We have all these 3-point shooters for the first time since LeBron era.
We don't
need him to do that in a game like that.
Ray, I appreciate the call. I flat out, fatly disagree. Thank you very much for making it. All I heard throughout Evan Mobley's entire beginning of his career is how he needs to shoot more threes. And Jason and I had knocked down dragouts in here about him taking more threes where he would take 2 in a game, and that was a big deal. He's taking more threes. He's hitting more threes. I think he's choosing his spots better on the threes. I don't think he's going to be Mark Price ever in his career, but he's working on the threes. Now all of a sudden we don't want him to shoot threes? I mean, come on. You're finding different reasons to be upset about last night.
Last night my problem was he didn't take threes or shots inside the 3-point range. He only took 7 shots against a team that had no rim protection. That needed to be an Evan Mobley game. That needed to be a Jared Allen game. The 2 of them combined for just 13 field goal attempts. That's not good enough. Those guys should have abused Oklahoma City's guards, their perimeter players, their wings. They should have backed them up. They should have got inside. And Atkinson's been such a great X's and O's guy this year. They did not acknowledge that advantage last night. They didn't go to it. And that ended up being a weakness for the Cavs yesterday. You tried to play Oklahoma City at their pace and their game. That was a huge mistake.
Tim and Parma, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
When you live by the 3, you die by the 3. And shooting 50% 3-point shots is not sustainable in the playoffs. The defense is going to get tighter, and they have to be able to make those adjustments when the shots aren't falling. And pretty much every game they've lost, they don't make those adjustments, and that's where the issue is going to be for the season.
I'm still not sure. Historically, you've been right, Tim, and thank you for the call. Historically, you've been right, but I'm still not sure if it's going to change for this postseason or if that doesn't change for this postseason. It's been a 3 like I've never seen ever. And the 3 balls have gone up. I don't know if it's going to be the same old now it turns into a paint game and it turns into a bit of a throw it inside game. And I still don't know why they didn't decide to throw it inside myself last night.
Yeah,
that was a miss. That was a terrible, terrible, terrible miss.
It was bizarre last night, but taking any long term, the takeaways are just insane right now. Like, obviously, Donovan Mitchell needs to play way better. He does. But am I worried about Donovan Mitchell in January? Yes, it's been a bad month for him. And as I pointed out, it's one of the worst months of his NBA career. It's been 6 games. Maybe we'll find out he's dealing with something. But, I mean, didn't Donovan show you last year on one leg just how ridiculously talented he can be in a series?
Yeah.
And the good news is this year, I think he does have legitimate help that he probably didn't have last year. So if he is on one leg, I mean, that wouldn't be good if you're playing Boston Celtics and he's, you know, struggling again with injuries. But you do have other guys that can take some of the pressure off of him. And I don't think you could say that a year ago.
Eric in Akron, you're next up on the Fan.
Morning, fellas.
Morning, Eric.
So I think it was a bad night. And I also think, I agree with Anthony, Donovan needs to play better. I think people are overreacting, acting like we're, like I think you said it, Ken, that this is a fight. You have to win every game.
Now, Lima said it, I think he was right, though. I just want to give credit.
As far as the 50% from three, like, I just disagree that that can't happen. I mean, look at the Celtics last year. They were bashing home threes, and they won it all. I think the game's different, and a lot of people are having a hard time adjusting. But when shot falling, I need Donovan to step up. I need Donovan to carry us home. And he definitely didn't do that last night, and he hasn't done that a couple times this year.
It's always been our thing where the playoffs have been significantly different than the regular season. And thank you for the call, Eric. That it's going to have a more inside game, that's going to be tighter, that they don't call as many fouls, that they let them play. We've said it a million times. But with the amount of threes that everybody's taken this year, I can't find a way. If it's live by the three and die by the three and you die by the three, fine. This team is built for this level of NBA basketball, for this generation of NBA basketball. Why do I get away from something like that? You want Evan to shoot more threes? Fine, let him shoot more threes. Let him shoot more threes in these sessions and these games. That flat out, when you're 34-6, they flat out don't matter as much. So I'm going to have to work out some of the things. And so if Donovan plays 21 minutes, which I can't really use as an example because they got their asses kicked last night. So yeah, you're going to take Donovan out of the basketball game because it was a joke. But if he's playing fewer minutes, I need to see what Darius Garland is doing. I got to play long term. Can Darius step up to the moment? Because Donovan is a groin injury away from you having to have Darius Garland lead you in a game while he recovers. We have had, knock on wood, the very good fortune of not having the significant injuries that Orlando has had, that Oklahoma City has. It ain't always going to be that way. Guys, we're going to come in here one morning. I hate to say it. We're going to come in here one morning. It's going to be after, Donovan, they're talking about an injury. Darius, they're talking about an injury here. You know, he could miss a few games. I mean, God forbid there's something serious. But we're going to do that. They have to prepare for that moment. And Kenny Atkinson's not an idiot. He knows that. Last night, an abomination of the game. There's no excuse for last night. They came out cold. I don't know if they didn't take him seriously. They thought they were going to romp. But I look at it as that, hey, are you a bad basketball team? No, it was a terrible night. Get your act together going up against Minnesota on Saturday.
I got to tell you, I'm impressed. I'm impressed, Cleveland, because I didn't think you had it in you to treat a regular season basketball game like it was a game seven of a playoff series.
Because they want to believe. They want to believe.
Or an NFL game.
It's not that they don't want to believe. It's that they want to believe and they're nervous going, hey, are we making a big deal? Because everybody in the world's telling us Boston is the big boy. Are we making a big deal or everybody's telling us Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's the next big thing?
Where was this overreacting in the second Boston Celtics game that we won? I know they didn't have Jaylen Brown, but we won. Where
was early.
Where was this last week?
The Browns to bitch about.
All right, where was this last week when, you know, we beat Oklahoma City and everybody the next day on national media was like, whoa. Are we making a mistake not having the Cavs as the team to beat right now in the NBA? Like, where was this last week? We're only going to do this when we lose
big games?
So you're
saying that we're a naturally pessimistic group?
I can't believe
history
what I'm hearing
right
now.
History would tell us, give us a good reason to be pessimistic.
It's a vocal group. I'd like to think it's a minority. I just can't believe what I'm hearing right now. All right, Mitch, our buddy, lives in an apartment dwelling. He has people all over, what, atop you, beneath you, side to side.
Was it one of them six thing deals, that building?
It is, and I'm on the top floor.
Okay. Top floor, okay. So right. It's somebody
no
either next to
you
or beneath you.
Yeah, so obviously all of us, I think at some point in our lives, have lived in a communal setting, whether it was in college, in the dorms, or when you're just trying to make it in this world, yeah. Out of school. Maybe you didn't even go to school, but you still had to live because you couldn't just go back at home. And right now, Mitch can't just live at home. So because of that, he's going to run into some situations that are straight out of a sitcom. And I think that's what we had go down with Mitch recently, because I think Mitch is having some trouble getting some sleep with all the sounds going on around him.
What's going on, Mitch?
There are particular sounds coming in the dead of night in my apartment. And for the life of me, I can't figure out who it's coming from.
Okay. Or what you mean, which apartment?
Yes.
All right, so it's either below you or to the left of you or to the right of you.
But that's the thing. The sound that I'm hearing feels like it's at the center of my head. It's not coming from one side of the wall. What? It's not coming from one thing near my door. It's frustrating me. That's more frustrating than the actual action that's going on.
Well, are you sure you're not turning into Vincent Van Gogh and you're just hearing it and it's not really going on?
I'm hearing it. I know for a fact that this is my reality.
All right, so what are the sounds that they're making?
Particular sounds.
Woo! I'm going to need you to make the sounds.
I can't do it on these airwaves.
I'm going to need him to make the sounds.
Yeah, what does it sound like? So just to give people, it's radio. Mitch, they can't see you. So the only sense they have is what they hear.
They're putting in new floors? What are they doing?
They are, gosh, how do I say this? They are doing cardio.
Is it rhythmic? Well,
they're working out? What are you talking about?
Not official workouts. No, nothing with a bike. Nothing with sit-ups, nothing with weights.
Listen how uncomfortable he is. What are they doing, Mitch? Tell everybody what they're doing.
It.
What's it? Throws of passion?
The nasty deed.
Lovemaking? And it's loud lovemaking is what you're saying?
It is
putting on
usually very faint. Sometimes it is very loud.
So what do you want to do? You want to find out who it is and tell them to stop it?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, too, because I don't know if I want to necessarily find or face the people that have been causing me some dual stress.
Why not?
Here
maybe they'll invite you in.
Well, that brings me to the obvious next question. Do you know who your neighbors are?
I know who most of my neighbors are. I don't really run into them a lot because it's like it's such a small place and nobody really like.
And they haven't asked to have sex with you yet.
No.
So you know who some of your neighbors are.
Doggone it.
Is it anything you'd like to visualize?
There are two apartments in particular, and we all have single apartments. By the way, there's no like two. There's no like two beds. There's no like
sexy
couples, I think, that live in there. So,
Are there different people coming over?
Not that I don't think so. This sounds
you're allowed to play the field.
This sounds like the same people at most of the nights.
All right, good for them. So, let me ask: is there a bulletin board type of deal when you walk through the main door?
I don't know what that means.
Is there a bulletin board where notes are posted or
No.
Okay.
All right, have you been accidentally delivered their mail in the past? And you can start to go on Instagram to see who we're dealing with here.
Ooh.
I haven't thought to do that.
Wow! Well, you just borrow their mail for a little bit, and then you give it back.
I've accidentally opened other people's mail, though, and they've had opened my mail.
She did it in Grumpy Old Men, remember? She took the mail. And Margaret.
You can get a little bit of a trouble, but it's tough to prove that you were doing that. As long as you give it back, you know. Hey, I'm just looking to see who it's mailed to. That's all.
She opened it. You better not open it. That's a federal offense, brother. Just like tampering with mailboxes.
The question is also, do you want to get revenge? Like, let's say this has been keeping you up at night when you're really trying to get sleep.
Ryman and his wife can stop over and they can do it in your place.
Mitch, what time do you have to get up in the morning?
Because I know you ain't.
You usually have to get up at like 3 a.m.
So if you're getting deprived of sleep, don't you want to get a little bit of a revenge?
I don't know, man. I mean,
who wants to help Mitch get revenge? 216-474-0092.
What am I going to do to get revenge?
Set him up with somebody
here. How to get revenge?
I mean, you got to go through the whole. We're not just going to go to that. I mean, you got a date and everything. Basically, we're trying to set you up with somebody for the love of God because you're such a lonely individual.
Even it can be for an afternoon.
I mean, you are an entertainer. Don't you like to put on a show?
Sure.
Okay. Well, what are you going to do about this? So there's no bulletin board?
The only thing that comes to mind is maybe like just pound on the door in one night, but I don't know what to do.
No, don't bother him in the middle of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't bother him in the middle of it. They're your neighbors. You don't want to be that nasty. I would say you're going to have to figure it out. I don't want to tell you to do this because it might not be too good. What Lima says is not a bad idea. All you have to do is just find their name and then just do a quick search. And if they look like one of the people, then, no, because he doesn't know which apartment it's coming from.
See, Kenny, back in the dorm room days when you'd have all the phones, remember the landlines that were all interconnected? Uh-huh. I don't know if you were too young to have experienced this.
Too young.
We used to call around. And
I didn't know that.
We knew where the females were, and we would call, and we would strike up conversations, and everyone's bored.
We would ride our bikes.
The internet wasn't what the internet was today. So,
we would ride our bikes.
But I'm talking about in the dorms. Like We would be sitting there just calling random rooms, and if females answered, it would be, hey, let's meet out in the communal area. And you could do it because everybody was bored. We didn't have phones. Not everybody had cell phones at that time.
I would go to Kent State and sit on the top bunk of my buddy's bed and catcall as they walked by in the dorm rooms.
I've gotten random phone calls from prison inmates that just dial random phone numbers, hoping that a woman answers the phone.
It's just random.
Or that's happened to me multiple times.
Are you on some sort of a message board?
Mm-hmm. Dixon's for criminals.com.
We're fixing your problems about inmates calling you.
Nobody can fix
we
problems.
Need to fix his problem. Go up next time it happens. It's, tonight's Friday night. Are all the units in your building occupied?
Yes.
So there's six apartments in this place. All units are occupied.
Yes.
Take a walk next time it happens. Tonight, I'm imagining it's going to happen tonight. Congratulations on the sex to the two people. I would imagine you need to take a walk tonight and figure out and put an ear to a door.
Kenny, this is...
And then leave it... Honestly, put a note in an envelope, slide the envelope underneath going, hey... Could you guys keep it down a little bit here? I mean,
I don't know if Mitch wants it to be kept down. I think he might be enjoying this secretly. By the way,
how long does it last?
As always, social media reaction brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry stores. Cleveland Pone says OnlyFans production going on there. That happened at one of my nicer apartment complexes I lived in, where we found out through the grapevine that this girl was having a lot of taped sessions going on in her room, and they had to tell them to keep it down, like the management had to tell them to keep it down. And so I would always kind of see the bags that she was carrying into her room and some of the very, very adventurous places she was shopping at. So I was always wondering, what's in that bag? Oh, I got to see what's in that bag.
MilkDud66 tweets that she can help Mitch out. All right, off we go. Good for you. Okay, we're going to get this figured out here. Take a walk tonight and report back to us on Tuesday. And if you know what it is, put a nice envelope, not a nice envelope, but put a nice little note in there, put it in an envelope, slot it in another door, go, hey, not trying to be a come down here, but can you keep it down a little bit? Are these like all night sessions or what is it, like 10 minutes?
I've maybe estimated like 10, 15 minutes usually. For all I know, they could be doing it for hours before I start hearing it.
Yeah, work your way up.
Waking you up, apparently. Yeah. Well, you want to ask Daryl about that coming up next?
Yo, why not?
I'm sure Daryl has a few answers. He's a...
Daryl's going to show up at the apartment building. Well,
give him a heater.
Holding a basket of pineapples.